This is ESPN Chicago, WNVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland hockey. Presented by Four Winds Casino and brought to you in part by Nancy's Pizza and your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Now here are your hosts, Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle.
We are talking hockey on ESPN 1000. It's a monumental week, as there's been plenty to talk about, thanks to the Four Nations face-off that will culminate tomorrow night in Boston at TD Garden. USA taking on Canada for the second time in less than a week. With Barstool Chief, I am Pat Boyle. 312-332-3776.
I'm so glad you're back.
I'm glad to be back.
That was a different animal last week, flying solo. So you did. Thank God
you did
you're
a great
back.
Job. How was your trip, first and foremost?
I mean, my face is peeling off from a sunburn like you cannot believe, but it was great.
Yeah. And both of us are such hockey dorks that on our trips, we planned how we were going to watch the game on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I'm sure that went
hockey
over
in paradise.
Really nice, you know.
Yeah. Hockey in paradise. And it was absolutely worth it because that was the perfect hockey game. That was everything I love about hockey wrapped up in about 3 hours. The fighting, the commitment. You know, all of these guys are the best player on their team for the most part. And you saw guys like Jack Hughes and Dylan Larkin. People who, you know, they normally play center, they're playing a lot of wing, they're winning board.
They're on the third or fourth
line.
They're on
the third,
like on Dylan, first line. Yeah.
Dylan Larkin's a fourth line winger for this team.
Yeah.
And he is so committed. The back checking, the defense, the board battles. You know, and I saw Jack Hughes getting a lot of stick on the internet for being invisible offensively. He showed up on every other part of the ice, like the right details, the good habits that I saw him throw a hit. I don't think I've ever seen him throw a hit in his entire career. He threw one in this tournament. So it's perfect hockey with all the best players in the world. It's made me fall in love with this sport all over again.
It's great because we haven't had a lot to hang our hat on hockey wise here in the city of Chicago in recent years. We understand we're in a rebuild. Connor Bedard has been fantastic, but we need a little something else to get the juices flowing. And
it was the first time we had that big game feeling in forever.
And I'm surprised how many people in our hockey world, the people we listen to or we have on our various shows to talk about, the so-called experts, how a lot of them were blindsided by how great the hockey was. I was like,
oh, I was. I think I kind of was, too.
Well, did you think it was going to be somewhere between, like, you didn't think,
I didn't think it was
going to
be World War III. I didn't think it was going to be World War III.
Yeah, but did you think it was going to be playoff caliber speed?
No, I didn't know what to expect. Like, this is the thing about this Four Nations tournament. It's the first Four Nations ever, and it's also going to be the last Four Nations ever, because after this, we have the Olympics, and then 2 years from that, we're having a true World Cup is what it sounds like. So
With
eight teams at least. So, which I'm really looking forward to that,
too. Oh, my God.
Can you imagine the anthem with Jim Cornelius? If we get a game in Chicago, that will be incredible. So I was wondering what the level – it was going to be more like the World Championships, you know, after the season where you get a lot of great players and some young players, and it means more to the Europeans than it does to USA and Canada. Or is it going to be what we got? And it was the best hockey I think maybe I've ever seen.
And there were a lot of players saying that.
Oh, the speed.
Connor Bedard said, I think it's the best hockey I've seen, ever.
And then you had guys like, you know, the Tkachuks, obviously, and a few, Jack Eichel, who's won a cup, saying that this is the biggest game they've ever been a part of.
Right.
So the fact that this is effectively an exhibition, but they're treating it like it is it's a gold medal and a Stanley Cup rolled into one is how these guys are talking about it.
And look, I know a lot of bouquets have been thrown around for the NHL and their role in this, and everyone's saying, like, wow, look at what the NHL, they finally did something right. Look at what the NBA did last weekend at their All-Star game. Look, as much as I'll pat the NHL on the back, it's the NHL players that asked for this, that demanded this in the CBA, that currently are talking to the NHL right now, the NHLPA, about the next CBA, and that's why the World Championships is on the table for 2028. I think, Chief, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because they're still debating of the timing of this, I still think it needs to be in season. If you want things ratcheted up like that, playing that game in September or in the in May or June, while
you can't do that,
you got to do it after the Stanley Cup play.
Which I don't think you could do after the Stanley. I do think now that World Cup, and it was I was a young kid, but that World Cup in 1996 was in September, and I remember Walt Tkachuk beating up Claude Lemieux, and that was a it was a tremendous rivalry. And you had the Russia was in it. And then you had a best of three between USA and Canada, and it was Doc Emrick. Amani has broken the tie. It was spectacular hockey, and that was in September. And that had the same, at least by my memory, the same sort of competitiveness as this did. So I do think you could do it in September. I don't think there's a perfect solution. Doing it now, though.
Well, look, if we're going to do it in the Olympics in February.
Yeah, you might as well just
why
set
not
your,
keep that going? And
you don't have to compete against football.
Here's the other idea I had. And, you know, everybody's worried about the NFL, and I completely agree.
Yeah.
You've got to work around the Super Bowl.
They're the king.
But why not start it the week, the dark weekend before the Super Bowl?
Okay.
Start it Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. Get some games in. Give the NFL its respect for its media day and whatever else. And then go dark on Friday. Or, you know, maybe you go Friday and Saturday. Obviously,
the
you
NFL
go dark
has the
on
weekend.
Sunday. Yeah. You give them their day. And you're not kind of wasting that dark weekend of the NFL where
that,
I mean, what really break? I mean,
Pat, that is a good idea. That is a real. I think that's a spectacular idea. People are starved. You think I want to watch NFL Super Bowl Media Day? Do people want to talk about that? I don't. There's just nothing else going on. The only thing is like that the day after you'd have to probably be dark the day after the Super Bowl. Too.
Okay,
so
we'll work around it.
But you could take. They took 2 days off this week to get ready for the championship. So that's not a problem.
And so
this is a. Pat Boyle, get Gary Bettman on the phone. This is a tremendous idea. This is how they have to do it.
So. You know, and the other thing is the NHL owners did not want to have their business shut down for 2 weeks. So I will give them credit for acquiescing and realizing, look, for the good of the sport, if you want to make hockey bigger, make it more global, make it more popular in North America, specifically in the United States, you need to have the best players on the planet playing on the same sheet of ice. And, you know, you get great players in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but you're not going to see Sidney Crosby in there. Unless he gets traded.
Unless he ends up with his old pal Nathan MacKinnon.
I don't know. I know the rest of the hockey world's already got him in a different jersey. Yeah. I don't think Sid's come to grips with that.
Yeah, we'll see.
He'll take another pay cut to stay
I wouldn't be surprised if, because they've been kind of out of it now for a while. Do you wonder if maybe this tournament, with how intense it is and how awesome it is, you're playing with all these other great players, and he's like, you know, maybe I do want another deep playoff run.
Well, he clearly does.
Yeah.
I mean, people question his health going into this and three assists first game.
Yeah,
he's like, hey, I'm okay. Hold my beer.
Crosby, talk about a guy who I remember reading about him in actually the old USA Hockey magazine. I don't even know if they still make that, but anybody who is a registered player got a USA Hockey, I think it was twice a month in the mail. I remember reading about him when he was 14 in that because he did some camp with the Kings. He has smashed all of the expectations, which were immense. He is a perfect hockey player, the far and away the best player of this generation. I love watching him play hockey.
Were you in the camp in 20, So it was after 2010.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been the 2014 Olympics, the Sochi Olympics,
yeah.
The Oshi Olympics, mm-hmm. if you will. That the question, because the Hawks had had so much success.
And he had been hurt a little bit. He had, like, concussion problems.
Should Taves be the captain?
The captain?
And I was, of course, yeah. You know.
I'm sure you could find old tweets of mine.
Stool chief over here. I was, of course. Well, because he had the hardware.
Oh, yeah, totally. He definitely had the hardware. And he was Captain Serious. And, you know, the brand was strong. And he, look at it.
That tweet didn't live long.
I'm sure it's still out there. But people were talking about, is Taves better than Crosby? And that was never the case. But it was a fun thing to wind people up about.
Right.
And so I think I probably wrote a blog about how Taves should be the captain.
But I'm sure you did. And I probably liked it.
Yeah,
100 times.
I probably didn't even mean it, but I knew it would get people going. It was a little. I love a good troll. And but yeah, Crosby is perfect, and that. That era, too, was just so – we were talking about that before. That era from Crosby's first Stanley Cup appearance where they had back-to-back against the Wings to his last cup. That, to me, we had the blend of, like, the old school, you know, the toughness and the rivalries, and then the Taves and Kane and Crosby, Malkin, like the new skill and the speed. It was just everything. Claude Giroux, all these guys. It was a great, great era of hockey.
All right. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We're presented by Four Winds Casino. We already had a hot pregame show because Nancy's Pizza and your owner, Dave.
Ooh, so good.
Provided us and the crew with great pizza.
Yep.
Their flagship store is in the West Loop. So mm-hmm. if you're going to a concert that you
it's a nice
see,
little date spot.
Bulls, Black, yeah. Whatever your case may be, check out Nancy's Pizza. The pizza is fantastic.
Let me tell you a little something about that pizza. I like my pizza a little bit well done. You uh-huh. don't have to ask for it that way.
No.
They know how
that's
to do it.
It should always be done.
I want to see that little golden brown cheese on top.
Now, we also have some interesting developments with our favorite hockey team here in Chicago. Is Seth Jones ready to waive his no-trade clause and be moved before the trade deadline, which is on March 7th? Ben Pope from the Sun-Times spoke with Seth today. Pat Brisson, his agent, has had dialogue with Kyle Davidson. And so that 9.5 AAV, that looks pretty difficult to trade with 5 years remaining at times 9.5. Yeah. Maybe not. We'll have Ben at the bottom of the hour. But that's a pretty – I mean, there's so many layers to that conversation. And I'll pose it to you on the other side of this commercial – break. Is this decor ready for him to leave? We all know that he's underperforming mm-hmm. Seth as far as what he's paid, but he's still a pretty good defenseman,
yeah,
so and he's eating up
25
he's probably
minutes.
Asked to do too much.
Yeah.
But are the horses that they currently have in the stable and that are on the way defensively, are they ready to hold down the fort?
I have a thought.
Okay.
I had a trade thought that just popped in my head, so we'll have to get to that later.
We'll get to that.
To answer that question, I do think that they're ready. And I think they need to just clear roster spots and get more minutes and a more opportunity. They're not going to be – he's not helping them win anyways. So move them on out, I guess.
Your calls at 312-332-3776. Your thoughts on the Four Nations and the title game tomorrow night in Boston. Chief will be there. We will get you ready for it. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show. Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app from anywhere.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Our nation's face-off matchup is underway, and the gloves are off. Kachuk and Brandon Hagel. Hagel from Tampa Bay. Kachuk from Florida. Hagel skated away as he got back up, imploring the crowd to get even more vocally involved if that's possible. And this start, if you can call it that, have we even started, reminiscent of the old days.
This was set up.
And here they come, Ray, you're right.
Right before the first Kachuk fight, this was set up. Here you go. Bennett in the lineup for the first time. Brady gets the better of this one.
Sam Bennett, 8 years
is a teammate of Matthew Tkachuk in both Calgary and the last three in Florida, fighting Matthew's brother Brady. Charlie McAvoy put one on net. Now we're 9 seconds in. We had a fight 2 seconds in, another one 1 second later. Now in the center of the action, it's Colton Parayko and JT Miller.
This is like 1996 when this building opened up with the World Cup.
An unbelievable start to the first meeting between Canada and the United States. That was in Montreal. The red, white, and blue won that game 3-1 was the final. Three fights in the first 9 seconds. It started on a text chain with the Tkachuk. I love that.
I love the quote from Keith Tkachuk when asked about his kids. He just goes, "I don't know. They're lunatics." So it was just absolutely perfect. And you knew there would be fireworks. You knew it was going to be very intense. Getting 3 in 9 seconds was beyond my wildest dreams. We need to make hockey more violent.
So, what are you expecting tomorrow night? Because you're gonna fly to Boston in the morning, yep. And you're gonna be one of the privileged folks that are inside TD Garden. And there's rumors that the president may also be there.
It's gonna be a zoo. It's gonna be an absolute zoo. I cannot wait. And when I watching those, I would have fought a Canadian when I was on vacation in Puerto Rico. That's how fired up I was. I was like, "Hey, someone come to room 1216. I'm ready to go." And so this one tomorrow, I'm wondering. I do think United States bullied them. So it was more than just the fights. I thought that they played tougher. I thought they won the 50-50.
But that's their makeup, right? I mean, they're a more physical team.
I wonder if they wish they picked Tom Wilson, if Canada wishes they picked Tom Wilson for this series.
I think that was probably a mistake.
Probably a mistake. You know, and not that Zach Hyman is that kind of a guy either, but it's like another forechecking big body, a guy that can play with Connor McDavid. Because they made Connor McDavid work harder than I've ever seen.
And he was hit harder than I've
seen. That too, yeah. McAvoy caught him good.
Now, unfortunately, U.S. is not going to have Charlie McAvoy.
I know.
And Boston's not going to have Charlie McAvoy, yeah. It looks like, for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Cale Makar is going to play.
Don't love that.
Quinn Hughes was back in Vancouver skating with the Canucks today. That's an area they need to clean up, this roster. I understand there's a couple things that are in play here. They don't want to ask players to not go on trips and then not play. I think they're big boys and they'd be okay if that was the case. They also don't want to see you stockpiling certain players that Tom Wilson plays in this game, but we don't need the physical.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Horses for courses.
I mean, right now the U.S. is down to 6D.
Right, and I don't think that's right. And if you look at the playoffs, you carry a full roster with, 4 to 5 healthy scratches, plus a black aces in case of emergency. So if I think they should have had a 25-man roster. I think everybody would have showed up. And then guys want to be around the other best guy. So I don't think people would be like, "Oh, I missed my trip to, you know, Cancun." Like, I think they would still want to opt in for this and have a chance. So I would love it if they expanded those rosters. Because Quinn Hughes, if he wants to play and he's got a U.S. passport, let him play.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Yeah. I'm bummed that we aren't going to see Hughes tomorrow.
Yeah.
At least Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Let's go to the phone lines. Tom in New Jersey, he's up first on the Hockey Show. How you doing tonight, Tom?
I'm doing great. Happy Wednesday. And I want to start with a couple of compliments. First of all, Chief did an absolutely fabulous job last week. When you were on vacation, he handled all the buttons, and I thought he was great, but you guys have a great dynamic together. Also, the guests you guys get on are just absolutely fantastic. Dave and Colin last week, I mean, these guys really know what they're talking about. So I usually call and complain about the Hawks' prospects or their coaches or the GM, but I just want to reinforce what you guys have covered as far as the great effect that the Four Nations has had, not just on hockey fans like us, but even on casual people, like I'll use, for example, Shea W. Norling from your station. Even people that don't think about hockey are caught up in this. And I think it's really, maybe it's the void after football and maybe the fact that the NBA All-Star game was so terrible. But people, I think, are really finally discovering that hockey players are the toughest They don't go out and play for money. They go out and play for pride. They go out to compete. And the only negative of the whole Four Nations is it's just left me with the fact that the Hawks have an even further way to go in terms of trying to put players in there besides Teuvu Teravainen. But it's just been a great experience, and I hope everybody will tune in tomorrow night, and I'm glad the Chief will be able to see you in person.
That's awesome. Tom, thank you for the phone call. You're good at pushing buttons, so I figured you'd be just fine. You'd be just fine sitting in this chair last week. You know, he brings up a lot of interesting parts about, you know, how this is going to impact the Blackhawks. I asked Anders Sorensen today. Look, we always talk about compete level, physicality, mm-hmm. finishing checks, pace. And I'm not pretending for 1 second that the first game Saturday in Columbus is going to resemble anything to what we see tomorrow night at TD Garden.
It's going to look like Pee Wee's.
It's going to look different.
Yeah.
Night and day.
Yeah.
But when this is their craft, this is their business, they're watching it. They're watching how the barista reacts to them.
Yeah.
And how their non-hockey friends are all of a sudden, is this what this sport is all about?
Like, yeah.
When it's on TVs outside of the United States and Canada, and it's the topic on, you know, ESPN's morning shows, mm-hmm. when it's only a topic when Joe Blow swung his stick, should he be out for 5 games or 10? Like, yeah. Those are the types of headlines that we're used to dealing with in the National Hockey League on a quote-unquote mainstream level.
Yep.
That's not the case with Four Nations. It's changed it. There's an appetite, I think, no matter what sport you're a fan of, we gravitate towards greatness.
I think
competition.
I think that's it. And I also think, you know, there's a few, it's like a perfect storm, because, like, you can't deny that the political talking points between the two governments have played a factor in this. The players have talked about that too. So it's just like the booing of the anthem, which I love. I love hate. I love good, clean fun. I love the rivalries. I giggled when they booed our anthem. So it's like, all right, game on. Like, let's go. Like, I think that just makes it all the better. So it was a perfect storm. You know, like Tom said, and you've said, being the dead time after football. And it was just compelling and entertaining. Like, that, it's one thing when you have just the greatness. It's another when it is fast and violent, and it got people's attention. It was like,
it had everything.
It had everything. And the commitment of these guys too. That to me is what has really shown through. It's guys doing things that they don't normally do, and they'll do it for their country. Drew Doughty said that. I don't know if you saw that quote.
I did. I saw that.
So Drew Doughty's quote was, because he and Matthew Tkachuk have hated each other when Matthew was back in Calgary for years, and it was public, it was in the media, they had fights, and he said, hey, if Matthew Tkachuk wants to go with you, this biz asked him on TNT, and he goes, I'll do anything for my country. So it was like, oh my God, like let's go. Like, I love that too. I love how both teams and every guy on every team is completely bought in.
So one of the major storylines this week in sports on Get Up, you name it, on ESPN, was on the heels of this great start to Four Nations and what we saw in the NBA All-Star Weekend last weekend. Could the NBA learn something from the NHL? PK Subban, who, to be quite honest, you and I are not huge fans of when it comes to his analyst stuff.
That's
but
he putting was, it lightly.
He was asked about the difference between the NHL and NBA, and here's what he had to say.
Hockey's a different sport from the NBA. You can't compare the cultures because of the way the game is played. You can step on an NBA floor and go through the emotions. You can't do that in hockey. You can't. Like, the culture of our sport, you have to play it with passion. You have to be willing to fight. You have to be willing to leave it on the ice. That's what fans are investing in. So for us, when we charge $1,500 for a ticket to come to Fortnite, fans know what they're getting. Cale Makar, the best defenseman in the world, wasn't in the lineup for this game. This was the most viewed game that we've had in years. And you see it, it's because it's not just based on the skill and talent. It's based on the pride, honor, playing for the guy next to you. I got a question for the NBA players. What the hell are you playing for? What are you playing for? It's not about the money. You make all the money. What, you're injured? Well, there's a difference between being hurt and injured. Are you hurt or are you injured? There's a difference. In hockey, we play hurt. We play injured. That is the culture of the sport. It's always been that way. So you want to talk about the business, the CBA. Fans get all of that. But what do fans resonate with? They resonate with what's real. You got to fight sometimes for your country. You got to compete. You got to go out there and leave it on the ice because those people are paying the price of admission. So fans know whether our stars are on the ice or not, they're getting their money's worth. The NBA has that issue that they got to work on. You got to create a better culture for your players. It starts with the leaders. This issue, there was no issue when Jordan was around. There was no issue when Kobe was around. There's no issue when Sidney Crosby's around. There's no issue when Wayne Gretzky was around because those are true leaders. They lead by example. Sidney Crosby, Hockey Canada, those players, both Canada and U.S., it was the players that did that for the Four Nations. That's not the league. The league set it up, but the players went out there and decided and said, you know what, boys? We're all in. When is the NBA going to do that? Because, you know, I haven't sat down and watched the NBA consistently since Kobe. Since Kobe has died, I have not sat down and watched the NBA consistently. I love basketball. Love the players. I think LeBron's great. I think KD's great. Steph Curry. Love watching them. But you got to be on the court. You got to be there. And when you're there, you got to go all in. The fans got to feel that they're getting their money's worth. And right now, there's a big difference between what the NHL's doing with those events and what the NBA's doing. Four Nations works because the players are all in.
We're up against the clock, Chief, but what,
he's right.
Overall,
he's right. Kobe was the last dog. Like he was the last of a dying breed in that sport. He was that competitive. Like he wanted to kill people, and it just feels like there's not enough of that. And they get rid of hand checking. It's flagrant twos. It's like they call it a lot tighter. Let the guys play. Let bad blood fester. That's how you drive engagement, storylines, and rivalries, and that's what every sport needs.
And just making the NBA a version of Four Nations, pitting one nation against another is not going to. I don't think it's going to take it to the level that we're seeing on the.
It won't be as competitive.
NHL eyes. It has to change in their regular season as well.
Right.
There has to be load management. Can't be an acceptable term.
LeBron had a sore foot.
Coming up next, could Seth Jones be on the move before the March 7th trade deadline? Ben Pope from the Sun-Times has that story. He joins the Hockey Show next.
The Hockey Show. When you're at home, don't miss Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Rolling on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We're presented by Four Winds Casino. We're also brought to you by Chevy Drives Chicago. Drive with Chief Drives.
Yeah, that blazer is beautiful.
It is, and you finally got it washed. I was proud of you for that.
Yep.
I guess you got back from being out of the country, and you just wanted to show off that tan.
Sparkling. So.
And again, thanks to Nancy's Pizza bringing dinner by to the ESPN 1000 crew. It was fantastic.
I needed it.
Fantastic. It totally.
If you're wondering why I'm in a good mood.
Yeah. We're talking hockey.
Yeah.
You've been rejuvenated by Team USA, you're looking forward to tomorrow night. You'll be in Boston for the epic game. And now we're going to talk about your Blackhawks. Joining us
right back down.
And the Hockey Show Hotline. He is the Blackhawks scribe for the Chicago Sun-Times, Ben Pope. Ben, how you doing tonight?
The second time talking to you today, Pat. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so I talked to you before you spoke to one Seth Jones. And, you know, he's been on everybody's trade targets list. But, you know, the conventional thought was he's got 5 years remaining at $9.5 million. That's not going to be the easiest contract to move. And, oh, by the way, Seth has a no-movement clause. After you spoke to Seth today, what was your biggest takeaway? Were you surprised that he is willing to waive that no-movement clause and move on?
I wouldn't say I'm surprised that he's willing to do it. I think he's been open during his 4 years here that All this losing has weighed on him, and he hasn't been the happiest guy here, even though he's kind of played through it. I think he's been pretty honest the whole time. I think maybe more surprised that he was willing to say that. But I think at this point, maybe trying to put a little bit of pressure on potentially, or just, you know, being his honest self, which he has been throughout this time. Can't really speak to his motivations, but yeah, he said pretty much straight up that he's talked with the Blackhawks about a trade. He, his agent Pat Brisson and Davidson specifically have talked about it. He'd like to go play for a winning team. He's never been past the second round of the playoffs, and he only got there once, and he obviously hasn't been to the playoffs at all since COVID. And that also he understands his contract will be tough to move, but they're kind of working together on ways to make that possible, which I think is a fair assessment. As you said, even with him interested in a trade, willing to make a trade doesn't mean that it will happen, and there are still a lot of things that would be difficult in terms of making it happen, namely that contract and also what the Blackhawks want to do, which we don't really have that clear of a sense of yet. So it's still, you know, far from certain, but it sounds like he is trying to push the team maybe in that direction as we head towards the last couple weeks before March 7th.
It's kind of almost close to the slapshot Dennis Lemieux trade me right now, where it's like if you say that in the media, you're not – mincing words. So he seems like he wants out. Do you think that they will have to retain to get the deal done?
Well, that's going to be the tricky thing. I'm sure they would prefer to not retain, but I'm not sure if it would be possible to do that. And if they do have to retain, then it comes down to how much is that worth it? Because not only would you be on the hook for some amount of money for the next 5 years, up to $4.75 million if you retain 50%. I mean, that's one thing, but you would also be committing one of your three retention slots for all of those years, which reduces your trade flexibility in terms of being able to retain on future guys. And, I mean, we're talking a long time. That's through 2030. So the next few years, I don't think the retained salary would be that much of an issue, but not having the slot would be an issue. And in the same logic, having the contract in full and having him still on the team also wouldn't be that much of an issue. I mean, they're not going to be anywhere near the salary cap next season. They could be closer to the floor with the number of guys they're going to have on entry-level contracts. And so having his $9.5 million almost helps get you to the floor, mm-hmm. in a sense. And he's also a good player, and they're not a team that's trying to tear it down anymore. So there's a few reasons why they're going to have to get a pretty enticing offer to do this, regardless of what Seth personally wants.
Ben Pope from the Chicago Sun-Times joins us on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. Barstool Chief Pat Boyle with you tonight. So here's a question I have for you, Ben. If Seth is moved on, currently, the way the Blackhawks are constructed on the back end, you know, yes, he wasn't playing up to a 9.5 AAV, but he's probably playing at a $7.5 million to maybe an $8 million player, maybe asked to do too much, quarterback the power play, the first unit, play in all situations. He'll go to a better team and will be asked to do less, mm-hmm. and therefore his numbers, I would think, will go up. But with Levchinov, Vlasic, Korchinski, Renzel, the players that they have, the Creviers, are those players ready to take over with Seth leaving at this stage?
I don't know if right now they have a guy who could be exactly what Seth is. I mean, Vlasic would certainly become the number one guy in minutes for sure, and I think he's a great player and is going to be an even better player as he progresses in his career, but I mean, Seth has handled one of the top minutes and loads in the league, and that would be a big challenge for Vlasic, not to mention that Seth does have a bit more offense to him than Vlasic does. So that would be a challenge. I think, you know, certainly before 2030, you would expect some of these defensemen to be ready to take over his role. I mean, they drafted Levchinov number two overall. You expect him to become a number one defenseman. Vlasic looks like he could be a top pair guy. Korchinski looks like he could certainly quarterback the power play and kind of handle the offensive side of things. Sam Renzel, who's had an amazing year at Minnesota, looks like he could be a top four guy in the NHL, and maybe even better. We'll see when he gets here. So I understand that they need to clear roster spots for all of those guys, plus the Creviers, the Ethan Del Mastros, Nolan Allen to the world. And they want to eventually give them the space to make their team their own. So I think it certainly makes sense to trade Jones before 2030. I think it'd be very surprising if he lasted this whole time. And maybe that's part of the argument to do it now while he's still only 30 and he's still playing at a high level. If you waited a few years, maybe his value would be even less, perhaps. Well, we would just have to see. But it would tax this team the rest of this year, obviously, and probably next year, too. I don't know if they have someone ready to immediately replace them. And that's why I say, as this team tries to improve, and I mean, they're not tanking anymore. They're not tearing it down anymore. They want to start winning more and progressing up the standings, and they're going to be active trying to get, you know, established players with talent in to help these young players, and that's pretty much what Jones already is, and they already have him. So that would be kind of the logic why they might be reluctant to trade him at this point.
Do you think there's any feeling around the organization that perhaps getting him out, who is now clearly a disgruntled player, it'd be easier to build a culture with the young guys if he's not there?
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think he's been a good teammate. I think he's well liked in the room, but he has not been, you know, a beacon of joy throughout his 4 years, and especially now that he's been public about this. Perhaps it does kind of change the equation when you think about it from a culture standpoint, a commitment standpoint. He did say specifically to me, I mean, he went out of his way to immediately after saying what he said, what I said earlier, that to clarify that, you know, as long as he's a Blackhawk, he plans to give his best to this team and try to help them win and improve. And he knows he might be here 2 weeks or he might be here 5 years. So it's not that he's, you know, dead set on just kind of mentally moving on. But I think that is a good point that would be something they have to consider in terms of, you know, is he giving his all and is he really, you know, fostering the right culture in the locker room the way I think he has up to this point.
And you would have to assume that as these guys progress, it's not just the roster spot, it's also the minutes. So if he goes from being a guy who's used to playing 25 and now all of a sudden it's like, hey, you're going to play 20 because we need an extra 5 minutes a night to give to Renzel and all these other guys, I think that makes it that makes him even more disgruntled too.
And fairness to him, and you brought it up in your piece in the Sun-Times, Ben, you know, he was brought to Chicago by Stan Bowman in a summer where they added Seth and then signed him to that huge 8-year extension. Jake McCabe, Marc-Andre Fleury, Tyler Johnson. You know, the thought process there was, we're not rebuilding.
Let's get to the wild card.
Yeah, let's try to ride Kane and Taves off into the sunset and get the most we can out of this team. And it really, it wasn't what he signed up for other than the money.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, a lot of fans have resented him this whole time because of his contract, and he's acknowledged both today and in the past that he knows the contract is tough. But he hasn't outright said it, but I think he knows he's overpaid. But, I mean, it's his own livelihood. Of course, he's going to try to get the best deal he can.
Sure.
In terms of the team trajectory, yeah, it hasn't at all been what he was promised. He came in, they lost 10 of their first 11. They had the sexual assault scandal. Stan Bowman resigned. Like, this all happened immediately. I do feel for him in terms of that he came in at the worst possible time. And he's ridden through 3.5, almost 4 years now of pretty ugly hockey on the NHL ring. So I totally understand his standpoint in terms of wanting to get to a better situation, especially after putting in all the work that he had.
All right, so Ryan Donato seems to be the biggest trade chip other than Seth here at the trade deadline. Do you think it's they get back a second-round pick or Donato stays here? They're not going to necessarily move him for a third-rounder.
Yeah, that seems to be kind of the way it's trending, especially as he played so well those last few weeks before the break. And we'll see if he's able to maintain that here on the other side in these last few games before the deadline. But as we were talking about earlier, they're not in the process of tearing it down anymore. They're not just flipping everybody they can to get as many draft picks as they can. It has to really move the needle. And I think they like the way he's playing with Bedard. And Bedard's development, even just for a couple months, is probably more important than a third or fourth round pick. So it does seem like that's probably the most likely outcome, is that either they get a second round pick and they take it, or they're not offered anything that much and they keep him. And then we'll have to get into if they re-sign him or not, because that would be its own thing as we head towards the summer. And on one hand, he's had a career year, is probably not sustainable. On the other hand, he's, even aside from the production, brought the kind of work ethic and doggedness and tenacity that you want to build a culture around. And if he can continue doing that and rub off on others, that would be very valuable long term. So those are the sides we'll have to consider. But yeah, I think a second round pick is probably going to be the asking price.
And last question quickly, has there been any discussion currently on a contract extension, because they could sign him before the deadline? Is that something that they're working on?
I haven't heard anything on that front. I can't say for sure that they haven't, but I haven't heard anything.
Ben, great job as always. We'll be reading your work in the Chicago Sun-Times, and we appreciate you coming on the Hockey Show.
Yep, thanks for having me.
We're going to be at Four Winds Casino coming up in March 12th.
Yep, a few short weeks.
Right after the NHL trade deadline, right in the thick of March Madness. Be caller number 10 to win a $200 gift card to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. You had something to...
I found a home for Seth Jones.
You did?
I found one.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll find out Seth Jones' home coming up next. And by the way, you must have a home in Illinois, Indiana, or Michigan if you're going to be caller 10 to win that $200 gift card from Four Winds Casino. Back with more on the Hockey Show after this.
The Hockey Show.
Pat Boyle hosts Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Rolling on to the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. A lot going on in the hockey world this week. USA Canada tomorrow night in Boston. Chief will be one of the lucky ones to see it in person. I heard there's some NHLers that would like to be in the building but are unable to get ducats for set. What is it going for on the
it's Taylor Swift prices. Secondary market is Taylor Swift. It's like the lower bowl is going for like $5,000.
Wow.
So I got it for free. so that was good.
People love hearing that.
Yeah. Yeah. So just cost of the flight, which was only $150.
Look at you're making money on this.
Basically, deal. Yeah.
Our thanks and congratulations to Mark in Bolingbrook. He is the winner of the $200 gift card to Four Winds Casino. And we will be there in mid-March to do this show from there. And we'll be talking about the NHL trade deadline, which will be the week prior to us going to New Buffalo, Michigan. And do you, if Seth does go somewhere, do you have a landing spot?
Vegas does it again. So
another LTIR fiasco.
So William Karlsson is currently on LTIR. Shea Theodore got hurt in the Four Nations, so he's going to be on LTIR. They describe both of them as week to week, but you know how that goes with Vegas.
Well, wink, wink,
wink, wink,
month to month.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, that cap space becomes available. Maybe the Hawks, they have a little bit right now. I think aggregate is about $2 million. And so the Hawks can retain, and you know, Theodore goes on LTIR. Suddenly they have enough money. Suddenly they have a top four that would include, for the playoffs, would have Alex Pietrangelo, Noah Hanifin, Shea Theodore, and Seth Jones. That would be pretty big, pretty mobile, pretty tough to beat in the playoffs.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, when are the NHL owners going to get smart and put in the Vegas clause into this LTIR situation? I mean, I'm not – look, the Blackhawks benefited in front of it in 2015 mm-hmm. when Patty Kane came back.
Yeah, and, the collarbone came back, game one of the playoffs.
And they went out and signed from the Coyotes.
They got Antoine Vermette, and they got Kimmo Timonen.
Yeah.
So, that you know, and Vermette ended up being a very key piece of that run.
You were a bigger key piece than Timo Kiemannin.
Timo Kiemannin.
Kiemannin, the former Kimmo Timonen.
Yeah.
But he got his ring.
Got his ring. Well earned.
Yeah, he played a game.
He was a nice guy on the party bus. Veteran presence in the locker room, helping the boys out how he could. But that playoff run, he ended up playing a little bit because they were shoving like Kyle Kaminsky and all these different guys. But I think Duncan Keith had games where he played 60 minutes.
Oh my God.
Because when the games that went to overtime, it was Oduya, because Roosevelt got hurt in that second series. I think it was Nashville he got hurt. I don't know. But they just rolled 4D basically the entire playoff run.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah, and they were moving up 1D to play forward every once in a while.
On that year,
I thought on that 15.
Well, TVR played a game in the Stanley Cup Finals like that, which he had turned pro earlier that year. So yeah, that was a wild run that never to be duplicated. That Duncan Keith earned that Conn Smythe.
Our thanks to Charlie Bevins and Kevin Zipak for pushing the buttons that Chief was pushing last week and doing such a
great job. If I'm being honest, they pushed him last week,
too. They pushed him last week. I kind of thought that might have been the case. All right, so what is your prediction tomorrow night? Look, second time in less than a week, I think the U.S. is a better team. They have more physicality.
Yeah.
They play with pace. They've got the better netminder.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still like...
I'm scared. I'm terrified.
I am.
How can you not be scared? I mean, when that power play rolls out and it's Crosby, McKinnon, McDavid, and now you add Makar, and then you can have Mark Stone for your net front presence, that is terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
But thankfully, the referees have called this judiciously as far as not over making lots of penalty calls.
Yeah, let the boys play.
And that, I think, has benefited the U.S.
I think so, too. I think that McAvoy hit probably gets called if it's in the Olympics. So even though I thought it was a perfect hit, like that's just the kind of play that would get called in that tournament. So I don't know. It depends on how Canada plays. Like they tried to do a lot of seam passes. They were playing. I thought they played a little too cute in that game, to be honest. So if they go high to low, pucks on net, get to the dirty areas and make it like it's, you know, Florida Panthers, St. Louis Blues, you know, this rough and tumble playoff hockey that we've seen the last few years, that's what wins. And if they play that way, which I don't know if they don't really have the guys for that, but if they simplify it, they're going to be tough to beat.
Are you expecting extracurricular activity early on like we saw on Saturday?
I think we'll see some of that too, because I think Canada knows that the United States took it to them, not just the fights, but kind of all over the ice physically. And I think they're going to want to say, hey, like, this is going to be a different walk in the park this time.
Well, you have fun at the game tomorrow.
I cannot wait. It's the most excited I've been for a game since the 15 final.
I heard Mark Silverman say that he's making plans to go out and watch the game with friends. And he hasn't done that since the 2017 Stanley Cup playoffs with the Blackhawks to watch a hockey.
Everybody's bought in. USA, right. Baby. USA.
We will be back next week to break it down. That's going to do it for the Hockey Show, sponsored by Four Winds Casino and also our supporting sponsors, Chevy Drive Chicago and Nancy's Pizza. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.